You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 18, 2023, and is titled Epaphroditus. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians, and let's join Steve and the message.
This country goes away. Do you know why we have so much trouble in the Republican Party? Some of it's ineptness. I mean, there's just a lot of inept people. But the main thing is, and a little bit of the reason you're having trouble in your Congress, it's not all because everybody's got a special agenda. It's not because there are a bunch of third graders who can't keep their sucker out of the dirt. But the Republicans as a whole, most of us who are as a whole, are a principled people. And our principles still matter to us. And even when we don't agree on principle, but we are the members of the same party, it's impossible for us to come together because we have too much courage to compromise. So they're not all a bunch of buffoons. The Jody Arringtons and the... I got a young man that's up there, a friend of mine. I've known him since a little kid. His name is Josh Brackeen. He's just full enough of himself that he'll bounce around off the walls till he figures this out. But I knew his grandpa. And he's a principled young man. One thing the Democratic Party lacks is principle. So I'm sorry that we can't get in lockstep with each other all the time. But the best news of the day is we can't get in lockstep with each other because we still hold to some of our principles. Now, there's plenty of crapola out there. Don't get me wrong. There's different ones, and I'm not going to name them, but there's the guts of the whole deal. That's why we the people is so important. And that's why the ordinary people of America are the ones that's going to do this. So now, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to pray right quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the country we live in. We thank you, Lord, for the nation of Israel. We thank you, Lord, for your blood, Jesus, that took away our sin, your resurrection that gave us life. We thank you for the responsibility of our calling. Help us live a life worthy of our calling. We thank you that you call us the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Jewish temple was the kitchen table. We thank you, Lord, that the institution of family still stands in your created earth. So tonight, Lord, use your word to encourage your people. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen. All right, when it get right here, we're going to start, just skip right down through here and... chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 19, and he's talking about Timothy. Man, Paul loves Timothy. Timothy could be trusted. He followed Paul's teaching to the letter. I mean, they knew each other, knew about each other. They'd had long, lengthy discussions. I don't know exactly how Paul and Timothy did it because they didn't have cell phones. I got a lot of Paul Timothy stuff going on in my life all over this United States. Thank God for cell phones. I don't know how else we'd do it. And he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. He trusts to send Timothy. Now, we've talked about this a couple weeks ago. Who's trustworthy to send? Who would I trust with all of you? Who would I trust with your kids? Who do you trust with your kids? Who do you trust in their teachings? If we're a group of people who sit around and don't read the Bible for ourselves, if we don't examine the Word of God, if we've not studied to show ourselves approved, then anybody that walks by and looks like he has authority or got letters behind his name or got a big place on TV or a big crystal cathedral or just pick a spot, then we're going to listen to what that guy says. And if we've not prepared our minds, we're liable to believe it. There are Christians all over the world, or at least church people all over the United States that say and do things every day without having a chapter and verse reference.
without having any kind of foundation to stand on, but they've heard it since they was a little kid, therefore they believe it and they say it. It may not even be in the Bible. But he's telling the church at Philippi, because they're new converts, this is fixing to be a new church, they're getting their first bit of instruction. He said, I'd love to send Timothy to you because I trust him. I know him. I trust him. When we drive off for a week and I hand it off to Curtis Allen, it's not because I just need somebody to fill a spot because we need some weekly Christian entertainment. I fully trust him to listen to God and bring you something from God in the best way that he knows how to tell it. How do I know that? Because we've laughed together, we've studied together, we've argued together, we've cried together. He's never hurt my feelings, but I've hurt his several times. Amen. Curtis, how many times have we driven to Clarendon and you came home tired? Every time. Every time. We never shut up about this, do we? Nope. And nothing else to talk about. Drive off and leave Murph standing up here anytime I want to. If I die tomorrow, go ahead and get one of these guys. They will tell you the truth. Alan will tell you the truth. They'll tell you the truth. Dusty will tell you the truth. Donald will tell you the truth. Gene will tell you the truth. They'll tell you the truth. All the way up and down through here, they'll tell you the truth. You know how I know? Because I've been talking to them a long time. I've been listening to them a long time. They'll tell the truth. Tell the truth about this. All of our preconceived notions and all our stupid stuff that we all came in here with, there's a pile of us old guys around here together. I'm older than the rest of you, but there's a pile of us guys who have worked through this junk together. And there's a pile of it that we're over. Therefore, you can be trusted with this book. If you're going to read this book through some lens of some religion, that ain't going to work. You'll read this book through the lens of the Holy Ghost, you'll get it. And so, he said, I trust you that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. He said, I just want to know who you are, how you are. Do you know what, Paul? He's chained to a wall in Rome while this is going on. He's having to write these letters one-handed. He's a prisoner in Rome. You know what I love about that? Some writings say he is standing in a cistern. Do you know what that is, kids? That's an outhouse. He's standing out with his arm chained to the wall, writing one-handed. And he's worried about the Philippians. Not one word in here says, beam me up, Scotty. Not one peep, Jesus, save me. No, just use me. Use me where I'm at. Use me to do your will. When are we going to start living for the fulfillment of prophecy instead of the fulfillment of our wallet? And he says right here, I just want to know how you're doing. For I've got no one like-minded who will sincerely care for how you are. They used to come by here every time, every little bit somebody called, want to come preach on our Thursday night. And I'm not going to tell that same old story I've always told, but I'm going to tell you they all came in here with some kind of canned something or another. They weren't worried about you. They wanted that love offering. They were serving God for the love offering. Just say it exactly how they, two of them, I had to make them stop and leave. Just give them the money to quit. I'll pay you to shut up. You're a phony, you're a liar, and I'll pay you to shut up. I didn't care how you people ended up when it was all over. He said, I got nobody like-minded. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come also shortly. Let me ask you today. Is there an unsaved group of people in your life that you've got a little interest in? Maybe you got a homosexual cousin someplace. You got somebody you've been sowing little seeds, somebody you've been, maybe you've been doing it for decades and you ain't seen any results yet. And now things are getting a little hairy. Things are getting a little scary. A lot going on. So every other line you see out there on Facebook in the Christian circles, get ready, the Lord's coming. I'm listening for that trumpet. I'm in church. I'm going home. Fooey don't know what's his name. I'm getting me out of here. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. Come on, I'm preaching good. You don't have a reason to stay. You don't have a reason to pray for your healing so you can go where you want to go. It's kind of like visiting the nation of Israel. Hadn't been there yet, hadn't really had the call, but if I was ever having the call, it's happening more now than it ever has in my entire life. Never had the urge to go over there and buy a trinket or put my toe in the water. I've never had that. A lot of people do, and they get a lot out of it, and I'm proud for them, but really and truly, Americans, if you ever wanted to go to Israel, now would be a really good time. They need some help. Now would be a good time. To not go as a tourist, but go as a foot soldier. But maybe before you go over there, we ought to try it over here. We could use a few foot soldiers over here. Don't get me out of here because I want to stay and suffer my way through this. I think there's some hard times coming and I don't want to miss it. And he says right here, he said, maybe I'll come myself. Here's a guy with his arm chained to the wall, standing in a poop pile, going, hey, I'm going to get there quick as I can. As soon as this sun gun comes loose, I'm coming. And the Lord wills, I'm coming. And now we get down here to Epaphroditus. I'm going to call him Epi the rest of the night. Really, Epaphroditus does sound like a disease. He said, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epi, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. You see, Epi came out of Philippi. His name derives from the name of a pagan goddess. What was that name, Roman? Aphrodites. Huh? Aphrodites. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter. We don't worship pagan idols, so call her whatever, call it whatever you want to. But he was raised in a truly pagan family. Idol worship was the norm of the day. He grew up tough. He was an actual soldier. He knew how to fight. I bet the little bugger was pretty bronchy one time or another. I bet old Epi and some of us old boys got a lot in common. I bet he needed grounded. I bet he needed a whooping, and I bet he gave a few. And then he met Jesus. And he bumped into Paul. And he saw something in that guy that he hadn't seen in anybody else. And he said, I'm going to serve God by serving this guy. You don't get any more ordinary than Epi. You don't get any more. Paul had a little bit of an advantage. He was born into being a zealous Jew. Honestly, the transition from Judaism to Christianity ain't that big a deal. Once you get enlightened, it all makes sense. But now if you was brought up in pagan worship and you was brought up and steeped in ungodliness and everything else, you had no moral compass. And then you come to Jesus. That's a teetotal transformation. I often liken myself to the book of Acts, where Saul of Tarsus met the living God on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded, and then he could see, and he was transformed. But after reading his story this week many times about Epi, I realized I probably got more in common with Epi than I did with Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus had a foundation. Saul of Tarsus already knew what the scrolls of Isaiah said. He just didn't realize. And he called on the Lord. He knew there was a God. He just didn't know Jesus was the Messiah. Epi? They had many gods. And they named them all kinds of fancy names, and they had one for everything. They had one for the sun and one for the moon and one for beauty and one for ugly, one for food and one for drink and one for whatever. They probably had a goddess that'd get you a new pickup if you wanted one. But all of it completely false. I knew there was a God somewhere. I went to buildings they called churches. And yet I was still waiting to find him. I had to have Jesus revealed, but my foundation was pretty weak. So when I read about old Epi, I'm feeling a little better about myself because Epi, he didn't mind a fight. How many of y'all think that I'll go too far and pick a fight every now and then? Can't find one. Still picking them. Can't find one. No, he just gave himself to serving Paul. I didn't start serving another man, but I've served the writings of Paul for 27 years. He said, he's my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. There is no more adequate scripture for today than that right there. Are we brothers in Christ? How many of us are brothers in Christ? We claim we're brothers in Christ because we all hang out together once or twice a week. Brothers in Christ. What about fellow workers? Now that group gets a little smaller. What about fellow soldiers? Now I think around here we're doing a pretty good job. I think we have raised up and encouraged men and women that's got a little fight in them, got a little stand up in them. Soldiers for the gospel. Soldiers now for our nation because we have found it necessary for the United States of America, the remnant of God in the United States of America, to turn the tables on this nation that we might make Israel jealous for the salvation of Jesus Christ, that they would come to their fullness, that we would come to our fullness the same way we talked about out of Romans 11 last week. Now we got a reason to be here. Now we got a reason to do this. Can you raise your children up and let them know exactly what Romans 11 says? Can you raise them up for the purposes of God? Will your children and your grandchildren be part of the fulfillment of the prophecies of Jesus Christ plumb to the last days when God's judgment appears? And listen, to God's judgment, yeah, he's recorded every word and every deed, and I understand that. There's a little confusion I got about being washed in the blood, where all that stuff's put in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, where it is remembered no more. But I do know there will be a judgment for all those who refused to be a foot soldier, for those who took the one talent and buried it in the yard, for those who even had two and turned them into four. You did pretty good. Those who had five and turned it into 10, they gave what that guy didn't do with his and they gave it to you. Are you going to take what God has given you and be the fulfillment of God's prophecy? Are you just going to sit in buildings built by human hands and you're going to listen to preachers who've been hired to talk and tell you what they think, tell you what they've been told, tell you what they believe, and you're going to sit here until you think you're going to be raptured up, or some guy drops you in a hole and lies over your corpse? Are you going to get up today and be about your father's business? Epi had a heart for Paul, and so did the church of Philippi. So while their head foot soldier was chained to a wall in Rome, they sent a care package with Epi over there. He gladly went. He did not get to drive a Denali. Not one part of this was easy. Do you know why Christianity in America today stinks to high heaven? Because we believe in easy. We believe in easy. It's America's favorite teaching. Let me tell you what will not stand the judgment. Bad teaching. There are a lot of really good guys who do really bad teaching. Well, he's a good guy. Yeah. We got some of them down to Selborne. They can't preach a lick. Good guys. Being a good guy won't cut it. Until you get the teaching right, you'll never live to be the fulfillment of prophecy. God's got a plan. How many of y'all have been holding that your whole life? But it was all about me. Remember? Even the prayer of Jabez was all about me. Expand my territory. Me. He's got a plan for the reconciliation of all things unto himself. And he made a way with his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. And from the very beginning, it's been for the restoration of the Jewish people. And we learned last week that it's upon the Gentiles in cooperation with God to bring that to fulfillment. Epi took a care package over there, brought it to Paul. He said, "You're the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for y'all and was distressed because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. On this journey, Epi got sick and he almost died. Now listen to this right here. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Now look, this guy's trotting across the country, taking the care package over to prison. Then here in a minute, he's got to go contend for the gospel in Philippi, take these letters of Paul. He's dropped everything he's doing. Paul's in prison. Look. How many of y'all, if I get thrown in jail here one of these days, you know that could happen. But I've been to jail already, so I know how it works. Yes. I even know how to go to the bathroom with eight other guys in the room. I'm not being gross. I'm just telling you what it's like when you go to prison. Is that not right? It's embarrassing. Them walls get pretty close. Do you know other people stink? And now you don't get to scrub them down or spray them with perfume. I'm just painting you a little picture that one of these days Christians who are tired of the rug unraveling are going to stop and say, "I'm done right here," and the consequence could very well be jail time. We've seen it already in this country. My question to you is, if I go to jail for marking my spot, look, I'm good with it. Robin's got good penmanship. She can write me a letter. We're good. I just wondering if which one of you are going to step up and do the same thing I was doing, knowing full well that that's going to be the end result. Pretty darn quiet. Who's going next? I remember my first ski trip. I'd have never done it without adult beverages. They told me ski school was at the top. There were young men who said they were my friends. And they pointed them skis downward and they went. And they said, "Come on." I did, but it looked way different than how they did it. They said, come on. That scared the crud out of me. Point them skis over the edge and don't know how this works. Couldn't find the brakes. I found the gas right off the bat. I couldn't find the brakes. Boy, I'm a handsome booger skiing now, ain't I, Robin? Snow plowing around. Skiing on the extreme greens. No, I'm just saying, look at Epi.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.